I want to thank you again for the high privilege of being with you. Really, it seems all my life has been a preparation for this one class. And I deeply appreciate the Lord and your patience. About prayer, dear Father, I thank thee, thou art God. Thank thee for salvation. Thank you that every life you serve, you save, you have a purpose. You have a purpose for each dear one in this room. A special purpose for that one only. They will learn that purpose in right relationship to you. A life of joy and fruitfulness and blessing. A life of glorifying God. Bring each one to the very place you would have them be. Spirit-filled, empowered, servant of God, giving all glory to God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Each week, or each 2 weeks, I want to give you something very practical that was a great blessing to me in many years of ministry. First, if you haven't done it already, I'm going to tell you to start a file, F-I-L-E. Get a lot of manila folders, some kind of folders, and begin to clip. You'll be amazed what that will save you. Now, I'm still clipping. Like I'm going to have 20 more years of service or something. I have now, over the years, 11 large files full of material that I've studied, preached, and clippings arranged by topic and by book. Very simple to read. Abraham, A, or I also find him Genesis, C. And you'll find that to be an immense help to you. You can't realize what a blessing that will be. So I have 11 large files, and each file there may be 30, 40 headings. I have over 500 classified, and it built up. And I pick up everything I find. Is something good? I clip it. It's laying on the table down there, PCA magazine. On the inside, a whole section about homosexuals. A lot of research material. I tore it out, put it in my file. I may be cold sometime, and there's hours of material somebody worked out for me. And I'll show you how that works. I was teaching at Messiah College, some sort of a missionary class, and they had a lot of booths there. And one booth was a booth to reach homosexuals. Well, I didn't have any material. I talked to the man. He said that we have some cassettes here. Fine, do them. Stick them in the file. A sweet, dear girl in our church was a member of the Westminster Choir School. Beautiful voice. One time she said to me, "You know, our choir school is shot through with homosexuals." I said, "Fine, you know, I got just a thing for you. Here's a lot of tapes. Take them up and see if you can pray." See, that's how God will use you. File, file, file. So last night when I went home, two magazines, Friends of Israel, they have a whole series on the process of a millennial teaching over all centuries. Fine. That's just emphasis. I clipped it. And there it is. They really showered, I think, wrote it. All right. Another magazine. This is the time of year when the Jewish folks celebrate Purim or something. Feast of Esther. A whole outline by a Jewish expositor on the book of Esther. Thrown out. Then I go to Esther. I have a file on humanism. It's marvelous. Now, when I go to write a book, I say, I know it's good because it's the best of everything else everybody else has written. Now, I'm going to give you practical things like that from day to day, but do it! Do it! You're going to go out and minister. You'll need material. The people in your pew now are far better educated than they were when I started 65 years ago. And have the material. Now, In last week's Israel magazine, I picked it up downstairs. I left mine home. Did I break the rules? Take this away from there. Here it is, the outside cover. Busyness in the king's business is no excuse for neglecting the king. It just fit in yesterday, didn't it? It shows you a calendar of all that they filled in. Well, that's good. You're preaching sometime on Revelation 2. There's something for your file. All right. Where was I? We spoke yesterday about heart devotion to Christ. I can't emphasize that too much. When the Lord wanted to recommission Peter, remember the 21st chapter of John, after Peter had so horribly denied him, I wonder sometimes what would have happened if Peter came before some board of presbytery or something. How they would have handled him. Do you remember what did the Lord ask him? What did he ask him? That's all. What are your qualifications? The one qualification you can't do without is personal love for Christ. Take time to love him. Take time to adore him. The first part of your prayer time, adoration. Quiet adoration. One little thought. Do you know that the Lord actually seeks as a great treasure the adoration of your heart? John 4, 23, 24. Got these verses down. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Can anybody finish that quotation from memory? Yes. Say it out loud. Somebody say it?
For such the Lord seeks.
For the Lord seeketh such to worship him. The Lord is seeking the worship of your heart. He must have it. He's seeking it. But why does he seek it? Because he wants to use you. The eyes of the Lord went to and fro throughout the horde to show himself strong on behalf of the man whose heart is right toward him. God wants to use people. And he looks for the person whose heart is right toward him. He's seeking you to worship him that he might use you. That's 1 Chronicles 26 somewhere up in there. I didn't intend to give that. That's just extra. Now, a few thoughts about that before I go further. The Lord has made a way where you and I can live within the veil. Now, that's a figure of speech, of course. The veil is separated outside from the Holy of Holies. Inside the veil was the very presence of God. And the writer to the book of Hebrews tells us, having boldness to enter the holiest. What's the qualification? My righteousness? No. The blood of Christ, that's all the qualification you need. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ. Now we ought not only to enter the holiest, but live in the holiest. The book by Brother Lawrence, practicing the presence of Christ. When he washed dishes, when he scrubbed floors, a consciousness of the presence of the Lord, we ought never to come outside the veil. Speak from within the veil. Live from within the veil. I think the Old Testament saints had that idea. He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, that's introduction. Now, let me tell you about the prayer life. Don't be discouraged. Don't say, I've tried, I've failed. Later on, after we go through the life of Christ in his prayer life, I'm going to try in some sort of way to show you how to start the prayer life. Once you get turned around, it's faced the right way, and the Lord will continue to show you the prayer life. Until it will become not the salt and pepper on the meat, it'll become the meat, the main thing in your life. Not just the spice, but the main thing. I said, I'm trying to speak to the Lord's glory. After I've had my prayer time in the morning, I feel I've done a day's work. The rest of the day is just going out, picking up the marbles, going up, picking up the victories that was won earlier in the day. A few more quotes. I think quotes are helpful when they relieve when they're not me. Here's some quotes. Spurgeon. I find it better to go to the pulpit in prayerful weakness than in self-reliant strength. Some of my happiest moments in ministry, when I felt the weakest, had no strength, I couldn't go on. One time Spurgeon had to get the deacon on each side to help him with the pulpit. He was so weak. He felt weak. So I'll at least walk in. But some of the greatest blessings I've ever experienced have been times of my greatest weakness, when I had nothing but weakness plus faith to him. After all, when you're weak, you're the most empty, as then the Holy Spirit can fill you the most when you're empty. I give you this test to encourage you. I don't like to rush through these courses. Ian Bounds. By the way, for next week, read the first 20 pages. Ian Bounds. I'm afraid. Fine. I won't be much. For scholars like you are, that will be easy. What I'm quoting you is from men of God who have lived with God and had great ministries. Ian Bounds. All our libraries and studies are mere emptiness compared with our prayer closet. No amount of money or genius or culture can move things for God. It's the life in the prayer closet which moves things for God. And God really moves them when he finds somebody he can move through. Andrew Murray. To pray effectively depends upon the life. He quotes 1 John 3:22. We receive what we ask of him because we do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Just the opposite is true. Psalm 66:18. If I regard or cherish iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I mentioned earlier, God is looking for prayer partners. He's looking for someone he can work through in the earth here. Ezekiel 22:30. I sought for a man among them that should stand in the gap. He's going to give a righteous judgment, but if he can find a man who will pray, he'll withhold the judgment. He could find no one. And so the judgment came. I'm going to stop here. Here's something I just picked up, or at least I thought I did. Yeah. You've all heard, I think, of Chet Bitterman. Anybody here hasn't heard about Chet Bitterman? What country you live in? He was a missionary under Wycliffe who was murdered in Colombia, South America. I was down there at 20 years ago. Zondervan has been commissioned to publish the life story. 40,000 copies, the first edition. When the hand of Wycliffe transmitter, I just got this yesterday, I'm showing you the value of prayer. When the Wycliffe authorities got the book, they said, the jacket on this book, we can't use it. It would infuriate the Colombians. There'd be more murder, more terrorists. We can't use this jacket. And he called up the president, Zondervan. Zondervan says, it's too late. We've had too many corrections now. It's on the press. We're not turning it back. And really, this man, Bernie May, the director, things got a little bit not heated. Until Lonergan said, I made the decision, that's how it stands. And Bernie May said, I made the decision, cancel the order. That night he felt the rebellion. Early in the morning, he felt peace in his heart. He felt God had settled him. Now, the phone rang. It was Cora Frederick, the wife of one of our computer experts. Cora has multiple sclerosis. Did I say that right? And is often confined to a wheelchair in great pain. "I hate to disturb you," she said. She told me, "God awakened me early in the morning." At the same time, he was going through this problem. "Told me I should pray for you, that you were having a need at this time. I've been praying intensely for hours, and just now God told me the need was over." I could hardly believe my ears. I told him the details. So on. Zondervan called up, jacket was off, I put a new jacket on. God looked for a woman, a person. He saw this whole thing in me. He looked around to find a person he could touch. He found this woman. She didn't know what it was, except that there was a great need there. Now, that's the great value of prayer. So I don't want to skip these things over too quickly. Well, now, we'll get down to the books. Some of you say, "I'm too busy. I know I was there. I can't find time. It's this, it's that, the other." Well, about 100 years ago, 1898, someone came to Andrew Murray like that and cut out what he said, this part. One of our most honored South African missionaries had the same complaint, that is, no time. Here's what they said. "In the morning at 5 o'clock, the sick people were at my door waiting for medicine. At 6 o'clock, the printers come. I had to set them to work and teach them. At 9 o'clock, the school called me. So late at night, I kept busy with the Lord's correspondence. My prayer life was dead. I had no time." He answered her in a Dutch proverb, "What is heaviest must weigh heaviest." In other words, what is most important, what weighs heaviest with you, should get the best time. The law of God is unchangeable. As on earth, so in our traffic with heaven. We only get as we give. Unless we're willing to pay the price and sacrifice time and attention and what appears legitimate or necessary duties for the sake of the heavenly gifts. Unless you're willing to sacrifice time, we need not look for a large experience of the power of the heavenly world in our work. Unless you're willing to give time, as far as blessing in the Lord's work, you can forget it. Now then, what am I to do? What are you to do? I don't know what your prayer life is now. I know what it's going to be. You're really going to be on fire for the Lord. You know, when I look out here, I see down the years, I see a number of authors here. That's right. Some of you are going to write. I might see great teachers here, great missionaries. You're going to lay the foundation now. You're setting the standard now of what you're going to do later. So the need. All right, what am I to do? Get up 15 minutes early tomorrow morning. It won't hurt you. Do good. Whatever your time is, make it 15 minutes earlier. Now, 15 minutes is a start, not much. What will happen in 15 minutes? I'll try to hurriedly sketch it. Lord, I'm here. You know my need today. You know the need in my own life. Quiet me as I read the scripture. Then read the scripture before you pray too long. Maybe the first psalm. "Blessed is the man that walketh not," and so on. "His delight is the law of the Lord. Lord, you be my delight today." Now, Lord, take this first period. Take those 2 hours a day. They're going to be tough. They're long. Take my relationship with my wife. Take the work. Casting all your care upon Him. And Lord, everything is now in Your hands. Let me come into heart communion with You today. Do that 15 minutes. You know what will happen? You'll find the 3 hours work you had to do will be compressed without bowing your head. You'll find your mind will not be cluttered. The debris will go there. The way will clear before you, and you'll see the way to go clearly. Start tomorrow morning with that. Now we're going to get into the prayer life of Christ. Did you enjoy reading about the prayer life of Christ? Make you ashamed? That really made you ashamed. Let me say, Helen, by the way, anybody need some of these books? Anybody else? I ordered 15 more. This is the first edition. The green book's the fourth edition. Well, with the same inside, we get this extra value. What else do I tell you? What about the prayer life of Christ? For years, I studied the prayer life of Christ. Other things. Oh, 20, 30 years. Just my own heart. One time I was speaking at a Bible conference, and an editor was there by mistake. The Lord said here. He said, if you put that in writing, we'll print it. That's how the book got to be printed. Never any idea of putting it. See? God looked down 20 years and saw you here, so you needed that book. So, right now we're going to get into prayer life. I give you a verse to start. 1 John 2:6. He that said he abideth in him, walk himself to walk, even as he walked. 1 Peter 2:2. He sets us an example that we should follow his steps. Now, I'll tell you how we're going to go. I don't know how long it's going to take, but we're going to study the prayer life of Christ. And after that, we're going to study Paul's prayer life for others. I have it all outlined. And after that, we're going to study Paul's prayer request for himself. You'll be amazed the request that Paul made for prayer for others. You know what I said to myself? I said, if I've been caught up in the third heaven, heard unspeakable things, saw abundance of revelations, if I had seen the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, if I had written 13 books in the New Testament, you know, I sort of feel I wouldn't need other people's prayers. Did you feel that way too? Ah, nice if they pray for me. Thank you. Well, I think I can make it on my own. Not in my own self-sufficient heart. I think I'd say something like that. But in spite of all these things Paul had, even in Philemon, they got him a room when he got out of jail. Pray for him. Little tiny things. And so how that ought to speak to our heart. A poem. I emphasize the morning for prayer. I wouldn't tell you, again, my best time is about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I love it. Ah, then, alone with Jesus, in the silence of the morning, in heavenly sweet communion, let every day begin. Now we'll get into prayer life of Christ. You have a question or so, I'll just bring up. It's deeply instructive. It must become our pattern. The two main thoughts that we try to stress, that the first is, the intimated, he devoted much time to prayer. Much time. It was a primary thing of his life. Someone said this, that the prayer life to Christ was the most costly thing in his whole life, outside of possibly Gethsemane. The time things he took in his prayer life. Here's the question. If the prayer life is so costly to Christ, can it be so cheap to me? Costing nothing in time or sacrifice. You are going out in the world to show Christ. You're going out in the world to demonstrate Christ. You must demonstrate his prayer life. But go on. The events of his life grew out of prayer. These events were made to come to pass because of his prayer which preceded it. I will say this quickly. When you get into it, you were amazed, weren't you, if I grew out of prayer. The baptism of the Holy Spirit gave an answer to prayer. He prayed all night and chose a towel. Transfiguration grew out of prayer. We come to that. He made things happen because of the prayer which precedes it. In your life, in your ministry, it's God's will for you to make things happen. You bring in the past. If you don't pray, you have not because you ask not. Let's see, he devoted much time to prayer. Luke 6:12. He continued all night in prayer to God. So costly to him the time he spent in prayer outside of the suffering of the cross. Costly time and strength. I'll tell you this, real prayer takes strength out of you. Sometimes the intercessors of prayer, I feel like a fish rod. Real prayer takes it from you, and well that it should. Now, I ask this question, that'd be nice to think about. Why did Christ spend so much time in prayer? He didn't have a sin problem to deal with, did he? He didn't have to say, search me, O God, and try me and see if there'd be any wicked way in me. But you and I necessarily have to spend a good deal of time searching our own hearts, don't we? And I don't ever know a day that I don't have to claim John 1:9. If we confess our sins, sins of impatience, sins of selfishness, sins of impurity you may allow to be in for a moment. He didn't have to do that. Now let's try a few things that I pointed out of why he had to spend so much time in prayer. I would say first, the need of fellowship with the Father, which only long periods of time could satisfy. Only long periods of time could satisfy him. Great desire to be alone with the Father, especially when rejected by an unfriendly world. That's a real need, why we need time. Second, he needed to learn complete dependence upon the Father, and to place all things in the Father's hands. He said, I do all those things which please the Father. But how did he learn them? Except being alone with the Father. Another thing, why he needed long times. He needed to replenish the strength for his daily ministry in combat with the powers of darkness. Let me explain that to you. When you're combating the powers of darkness, or a great problem in your church, and you will have them, it drains you. And if you don't get filling up later, you're going to have trouble. I'm going to stop right here and tell you the problem. I'm telling you this, I'm going to bare my heart to you. Because you're going out in ministry. About the need of replenishing after a drain in conflict with Satan. We ran summer Bible school in the evening. We had 160 children. We get drivers easy in the evening, and the parents would walk the children. We'd have a class with the parents. And then after that, my wife and I would take a ride out to the country. Get some ice cream or something. We came home one night and the mother put the
far away in the garage. The woman was walking around aimlessly.
Your pastor, yes.
One of your teachers attacked my little daughter in school today. And I just answered that. Oh, God. I said, what should I do? So the wife really has wisdom. And she said, we have a chief of detectives in our church. Let's call him on the phone, see what he can do. So I'll be right down. Come over and go over to the girl's house. The civil policeman. They were just going to come over and get me out of bed and have me take the girl to every man that worked in our summer Bible school, see if she could point it out. But the chief of detectives, he dismissed the policeman as I'll take care of this case. So we talked about it. We told him what to do the next morning, the next evening. So I'll be there, plain car, plain clothes. And the little girl, she'll stand out. They sent her to the hospital, I would check. She'll stand outside there. This big 200-pounder came along, a theological student. What would you do in case of that? So I called him in a home. I said to him a few questions. Oh, no, I don't know anything about it. But he left a clue. Then he broke down and cried. Oh, why this ever happened to me? After I dealt with it in his passion, in a loving way, then he was taken to City Hall, where he made a frank, free confession. Now, what's going to happen to the church? What's going to happen when that gets on the news media? What's going to happen when that gets on television? What's going to happen when that gets to the neighborhood? You can imagine the anguish. The anguish. We went alone in prayer to the Lord. Now, this is the kind of prayer that brings you love. Lord, you said you would keep what's committed unto you. You know about this. You know they want to put it on the media. They want to put it in the papers. They say it's real news the theological student would do this. Lord, it'll ruin the testimony here. Then something developed. The chief detective said to the media there, to the others, I have a real story coming up. You know, it wasn't too long ago. I said, this is an old man here. He'll wreck his ministry. He'll hurt him. I have a real something coming up first. If you'll keep this thing out of the papers and off the media, I'll give that to you. They said, no, this is too hot. He pressed it, and they said, it's a deal. And that thing's ever got in the papers. Even my assistant pastor didn't know it. I didn't tell him. He said, there's so-and-so. But he was in jail. And God kept that thing quiet. It didn't happen. The church grew after that. But what I'm saying is, that took an awful lot out of me. Awful lot out of me. Now, if I didn't put back immediately what came out of me, I'd be ready for emotional disturbance. I'd be ready for a collapse of some kind. And in conflict with Satan all day long, that's why Christ needed to be alone with his Father constantly. And that's why you need, after severe conflict in your ministry and so on, you need extra time alone with the Lord. I'm going slower and not racing through things and trying to give you these practical things that you're going to face. Don't think you're not going to face it either. We get that, we come to suffering. You need to replace what he lost in conflict with Satan. He needed to get the very message that the Father would give him for the people that day. Now, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles. I don't know how far we're going to get with this. 50th chapter of Isaiah. I won't tell you that's back in the Old Testament. I won't tell you it's in 2 Isaiah. In opening my heart to you, I can't tell you, dear class, how God has blessed this verse to my heart. He says, Now this speaks of Christ, this whole 50th chapter. Down verse 5, just to show you Christ. The Lord hath opened my ear, or pierced my ear, like the dear boys that sang the chapel not long ago. Verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked out the hair. It's Christ, the chapter. Now look at verse 4. May this be the key verse, one of the key parts of your life. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. Where did you get that tongue, Christ? Why did you get it? That I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth me morning by morning, every morning, every morning. He waketh my ear to hear as one who is learning. What is Christ saying there? He said, every morning, morning after morning, he met the Father. And in communion with the Father, he learned the words that he would need in his ministry that day. If he were that dependent, how much more do we? So we could say, the words which my Heavenly Father giveth me, these are the words which I speak unto you. Now, I'll give you something else you'll find out. If you read your Bible in the morning, that God loves you, don't read too much. Can I tell you, do not? Don't read too much. That's F.V. Meyer's advice, my advice too. Don't put me in the past citation, didn't you? It's better to read a few verses, the stuff that strikes you, than squeeze the juice out. Take it all for yourself. I read the other day, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Did you ever read that statement? I said, Lord, does my conscience always bear witness that the Holy Spirit is telling me to do what I'm doing? Is my conscience and the Holy Spirit one? I thought on that about a half an hour. That's how you're to meditate, see. But here's what you find out. Very often in your meditations in the morning, you'll meet somebody that will need just what you've got that morning. And God knows what you have, and God will send that person to you. But he knows you have it. And that's why Christ needed to spend a long time with the Father, preferably in the morning. And he needed further instruction and light in God's will. What should I do next? He said in John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That which gives me the highest pleasure is to do the will of my Father. How could you learn that will except much time in the Father's presence? So he spent much time in prayer, sometimes all night. Next thought I want to give is, he made time for prayer. What time did he have a whole big audience there? Big congregation. He sent them away. It's time to pray. That's in Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up the mountain privately to pray. A set determination to pray when it's time. When the burden of prayer was upon him, it was more important for him to pray than to preach. I don't think we often think that way. You see, it's more important to preach. Oh, the prayer will pray on the end. We'll pray on the end, a little spice or something. But he even stopped that. A few other verses I cut down here. They wanted to make him king. He knew it was a false popularity. They all wanted to get on relief. Because he said, you don't follow me because of the miracles I do. Why did he follow him? Loaves and fishes. He saw food. And so when that happened, he went apart to pray. When self-exaltation flourished. One time, in the first chapter of Mark, it was a busy day. The whole day. It was a good sermon, that the whole day. He healed demons synagogue. He healed Peter's wife's mother. And the whole crowd were gathered there. He healed them. He cast out demons. It's late at night. He got up a great while before day and went out into a solitary place, and he there prayed. He stopped healing to go out and pray. Prayer is more important at one time than preaching or healing. When he came back the next morning, Peter always had the answer, didn't he? Where were you? People looking for you. Where were you? You know what Christ said? He said, I'm finished here. I came forth from prayer knowing I must go to the next town. You can't even take the advice of your closest advisors. It must come from the Lord. Men who have been greatly used of God have been men who have set times for prayer and kept these times sacred unto the Lord. Daniel, even when threatened with death, he knew the writing was on the wall, and he did previously pray 3 times. David, morning and evening, like he cried out to God. Every man who's ever been greatly used of God, every man. I love to read biographies. You'll find back of their life was heart communion with the Lord. Now, I brought out yesterday, you know, a passage without a repeat. No, no, no. About the favorite time of Christ was the morning. I'll say this. He prayed as needs arose. I pray all day long. My wife says, who are you talking to? I said, the Lord. But things come up. When you get dirt in your eye, do you wait till the end of the day, or do you get it out right away? If something comes to me and the Lord, I'm going to get it out right away. Talk about it. I love to walk around talking to the Lord. I like to walk out in the woods talking to the Lord. Thank you for his creation. Thank you for himself. Now, Christ prayed for each need as it arose. But his favorite time of prayer was the morning. Morning by morning, the Father waketh me. Arise ye a great deal before dawn, as Mark 1, even after the prayer. Why in the morning? Can I suggest a few things? Your mind's clear in the morning. For all of you. Can I give you something else, Lord? I've been practicing this for many years. Let the Lord get into your heart the first thing in the morning. I'm not telling you to do this. I don't listen to the radio. If the newspaper's out there, someone gives us a newspaper free every morning. I go and get the newspaper. Right. Bring it in. I don't want to read all about that Aryan giant problems. I don't want to read about parish, whether he's going to catch for the Phillies or not. See what happens. That's his failure. When I did that, all the time I'd be praying, what's Russell going to do if parish is going to catch? What am I saying? Don't introduce a competitor in your heart. Don't introduce a competitor. And often, I will say to the Lord, is it all right to read the newspaper now? Or the world? But never first. Yes.
Okay, I've tried that a number of times. Always fall asleep.
Fall asleep when?
In the morning, early morning, 5 or 5:30. I always then, if I'm sitting on the couch, my head begins to nod.
Take a glass of ice water in with you, all right?
Don't work.
You think the Lord would get away with an excuse like that? I don't. Not with ice water around.
You said you get up at 3 or 4 in the morning?
Yes.
Don't you ever re-fall back asleep or anything? No?
tell you something. The other night I couldn't sleep. You'll know my home after a while. No one in all the world snores like my wife. She snores on the way up and the way down. She's not well. She's developing Parkinson's disease. She's losing her muscle tone. I have to help her out with the chair. Her lips go like this if I watch her. So I don't want her to lose her sleep. The night before last, I don't think I got 2 hours of sleep. But I went out in the other room. And I sat there with the Lord. And you know, this whole lesson I'm teaching today, the Lord gave me today. It just flooded my mind. I said, thank you, Lord, that I couldn't sleep tonight. That's marvelous. Thank you. Then we had guests come to the home yesterday to entertain. But, oh, Lord, I just all praise you what you've done. I thank you that I could sleep tonight. That just to sit here and to enjoy you and to see you put these things. You told me, you don't have to prepare too much. You've done it. Don't be afraid. I'll take care of it. It was the most marvelous time. But I don't mean to criticize anything. Ask the Lord to overcome that. Take the test water, too. Say, Lord, you want me to get up early. I want to do it. But walk around. Walk around praying. Walk around and do that. I do that sometimes. They used to walk with their hands up like this, praying. I'm not against that. But Timothy said, Paul said, Timothy, when you pray, lift up holy hands. Make sure the hands are clean. I lift up my hands sometimes as much as to say, no one knows this. My wife doesn't know it. My own secret prayer. As much as to say, Lord, you know. I put my hands down like that. Walk around. Put the ice water on the table. Walk around. Well, I am very much interested in you and your future, that you know. Ask the Lord to do that for you. But I'm really saying, now I'm not saying that everybody here must have a morning prayer time. I'm not legalistic by pouring you into a mold. I'm only telling you what Christ found very helpful, and that one of his poor followers, I found the same thing. Do you remember what I showed yesterday? I'll do it again. There's the morning hour. If you put Christ here, you have his power. Then when the phone comes, letters come, people come, you have his wisdom. You might find it in the book, How I Failed at One Time. If you don't meet Christ, you meet all these things, hit them out at the close of the day, you meet Christ. But you meet him without these problems solved. Isn't it that simple? I think it's that simple. 20 after, you got 10 minutes to come back and bear it again. 10 minutes off. Anybody needs a book, there's one here. Yeah.